James chapter 1, verses 2 to verse 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And Father, we pray that you will just bless this word to our hearts and our lives this morning. We ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Ever been suckered by a salesman? Remember 14 years ago, my brother and I were out somewhere. I don't know where it was now, but we got suckered by a salesman. He was selling encyclopedias. My brother and I each went home with a stack of encyclopedias. And it's been interesting. Over the years, they've actually come in very useful. A number of times we'll be sitting around the table eating dinner, talking about something, and we'll be talking about a person or a place or something, and we don't know anything about it. And so what we've done is I've gone downstairs into my library, and I've looked for the encyclopedia that deals with that topic and brought it up to the table, and we've talked about it, learned about that particular thing. And so it's been helpful. Where we didn't know, where we lacked knowledge, where we lacked wisdom, we were able to get it from the encyclopedia. The problem is that encyclopedias obviously don't tell you everything that you need to know about living life. Isn't that true? In fact, when we go through hardships and trials, don't bank on the encyclopedia for any help in that area. In fact, oftentimes what we do find is that when we go through hard times and trials, we just don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. I mean, we really lack wisdom. Now, James says in chapter 1 that we're going to fall into trials of various kinds. It's not an if, it's when. Count it pure joy, my brethren, when you fall into trials of various kinds, okay? If you're here this morning and you've never gone through a trial or an affliction, may I suggest to you that you're not really here, that you're not a human being. The fact of the matter is we all go through tough times, hardships, afflictions, and maybe that's happening this morning to you. Is that possible? Okay, you probably don't want to admit it, but we all have issues, don't we? And often we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn when we face some of those issues. In fact, if you look down at your Bibles, at verse 5 it says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, okay, if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a trial, and you lack the wisdom to know how to deal with it, when James says that, he's not saying that this might be the case with some of you, that most of you have got together and that you understand how to go through trials. When he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, the assumption is that this is true of everybody that he's writing to, that he's speaking to, okay? We all, each one of us, at various times, lack wisdom, the wisdom we need to get through trials. The question we want to figure out this morning is, where do we get the wisdom that we need to get through trials, to navigate in a way that pleases God and keeps us from falling apart at the seams, okay? That's the question. And James gives us a couple of good words of counsel this morning in verses 5 through 8 to help us to get the wisdom we need to navigate when we face hard times. Okay, you with me this morning? So what are those two words of counsel? The first one is this. You ready? It's profound. It's deep. It's 3 letters long. Maybe you can see it right there in the text. Verse 5. Let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. That's the first word of counsel to you. If you want to know how to successfully navigate through hard times, if you want the wisdom, need the wisdom to get through these hard times, what do? Ask of God. You pray. And how many times have we been watching movies or TV and we've heard this ridiculous statement, we've done all that we can now, and all we can do is what? Pray. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? That's the first thing you should have done. What do you mean you've done everything? And all that's left to do is to pray. No, wrong answer. We are first of all to pray. And by the way, that's not an option, is it? Because when James says, let him ask of God, that is an imperative. It's a command. It's not just good advice. It's not a good suggestion, something that you might want to take to heart when you get around to it. No, it's a command. It's a non-negotiable. If you lack wisdom to know how to get through a trial, God says, you are to ask of me. You're to pray to me and to pray down wisdom from above. And that's a good idea, isn't it? Sure it is. You want to know why? Well, let me ask you this question. When you go through a situation where you just need to know something, where do you normally go? For instance, let's say that you wreck your car. Where are you going to go? Go to a mechanic. Let's say that your cell phone dies. You know, you just have massive problems that you don't have to do. Where are you going to go? You can go to the cell phone company, right? You're going to go to the people who know what to do, how to take care of the issue, right? Well, listen, if you got trials in your life and you need to know how to get through them, who better to go to than God? Why? Well, for this reason, because God knows everything, okay? You need wisdom. Does that make sense? You go to the one who knows absolutely everything there is to know. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, that in Jesus Christ all the treasures of wisdom are hidden. You got a trial, you need wisdom. Why don't you go to the one who's got all the wisdom that there is? All the treasures of wisdom are hid in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:17, we're to pray that God would give us a spirit of what? Guess. Wisdom. That's right. In fact, in James chapter 3, we're told that there is a wisdom that comes from above. Above? What does that mean? Who's above? Well, God's above, which means that God is the one who gives wisdom, right? In fact, doesn't it say in James somewhere that God is the author of every good and perfect gift that comes down to us? Okay? Well, listen, if God's got all the wisdom, are you with me here? Are you tracking with me? If God's got all the wisdom, then doesn't it make sense that if you lack wisdom, that you're to go to God and ask Him, that you are to ask of Him for the wisdom you need to successfully navigate through tough times? Absolutely. You want a couple of motivations to do that? Because that can be hard, can't it? We go through hard times and we want to know how to get through these difficult times. You know, oftentimes we're tempted to go to people or try and figure it out on our own. We do that, don't we? So how about some motivations to get us into the presence of God, to the throne of grace, to get the wisdom we need to get through trials? Here they are. Look down your Bibles again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. You get that? Liberally. You know what that means? It means a lot. It means super abundantly. Literally, with singleness of intention. Okay? If you're lacking wisdom and you ask of God, you need to know that God will give liberally, super abundantly, awesomely. Okay? Just think for a minute of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. Diane and I were talking about this this past week. Remember how God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, I'm going to give you anything you want. If you just name it, I will give it to you. And remember what Solomon's response was? Okay, God, here's what I want. I want wisdom. I want wisdom to know how to judge your people, to discern between evil and good. We're told that Solomon woke up the next day, and guess what? He had wisdom. Remember the story of those two women who came to him with their baby? Right on the heels of that prayer. And we're told in verse 28 of that chapter that when Israel heard of the story, that they feared the judgment of Solomon and the wisdom that God had given to him. And so you want to talk about liberally? You want to talk about super abundantly? Hey, listen. Listen up. Listen. If you need wisdom, if you're lacking in this area to get through hard times, ask of God, because God gives liberally and what? And without reproach, without insult, without fault finding. Okay? And what that means is this. When we go to God and say, God, listen, I am really lacking in wisdom to know how to get through this hard time. Would you please give it to me? What God is not going to do is this. Well, listen, it's about time that you showed up. Okay? I've been waiting for you. And it's been like forever. Why haven't you been praying to me? Or you know what, why should I? I mean, look at the way you live your life. Why would I ever give you wisdom? You know what, you've made your bed, lie in it. No, without reproach. You see what James is doing here? He's filling our minds with the character of God. You know, so often when we find ourselves in a hard time, in a hard place, we don't know where to turn, what to do, we think to ourselves, why even bother going to God? Because, you know what, I'm not sure He's going to come through. I'm not sure He wants to come through for me. Wrong. God is the God who is great and big and generous and gracious. And when we come to Him, He doesn't point a finger, doesn't wag a finger and find fault with us. I mean, He is generous and He is so gracious. That's who our God is. And we need to remind ourselves of these things. John Calvin said this, that He just delights to add new blessings to former ones without end and without limitation. That's who our God is. And we need to have our minds filled with the greatness and the bigness and the generosity and the graciousness of our God. And we ought to just dispel any negative and harsh ideas about our God. They're from the pit of hell. They have no place in your hearts. No place in your prayers if you go to Him seeking for wisdom to know how to traverse and navigate through tough times. Does that make sense to you? We're to ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. There's the promise. There's the promise. And it will be given to you. You know what that means? You know what that means? It means that it will be given to you. It means that if you ask God for wisdom, God will give you the wisdom. That's a promise. That's a promise from the lips of God Almighty. You ask, I will give you wisdom. What could be clearer than that? What could be more obvious? It will be given. That's God's promise to you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Come on, if you know it, say it with me. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. By the way, just remember that when it comes to going through trials, right? Not on your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. God, give me wisdom. And He will what? He'll direct your paths. You trust in Him, He will direct your paths. He'll come through. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you the wisdom. You say, well, how's He going to do that? How's God going to give me this wisdom that you're talking about this morning? Well, a few ways. And just note these. Let me give you four. Ultimately, primarily through what? Through what? Through His Word, absolutely. Psalm 119, verse 105. You know what? Say it with me. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I don't know where to go. Much is dark. But you know what? When I've got Your Word, I can see the way. I know Your wisdom. Your Word shows me how I am to proceed. And so when we ask God, don't be surprised if when you're reading your Bibles, God gives you a principle from His Word to guide you and direct you, okay? His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it's one of the ways that God dispenses His answer to that prayer. I'm lacking, God, give me wisdom. Does that make sense? That's the first thing. Here's another way that God promises or comes through with that great prayer. God, give me wisdom. It's through His people. Through His people. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says this. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All right? You're a foolish person if you think that you can figure out life's difficulties on your own. God has put the body here for a reason. And that's so that we can interact and ask and seek counsel. And the Word of God says that there is safety, there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so if you've got a problem, you pray to God and expect God to be speaking not only through His Word, but maybe also through the body, to give you wisdom. You're not an island unto yourself. You need the body. There's collective wisdom here. I mean, people have gone through stuff and learned stuff through their trials that they can pass on to you and help you to navigate more faithfully through tough times. Okay, that's the second way. Here's the third way. Through providential circumstances. Through providential circumstances. Here's how God will answer your prayer for wisdom. I need to know what to do, God. I know how to proceed. And God can organize, He's fully able to organize the circumstances of this life, of our history, in such a way as to make it very clear to you what His will is, how to get through tough times. Here's a fourth one. It's this. the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The prompting of the Holy Spirit. We ought not to be ashamed of that. In Reformed circles, we ought not to be freaked out about that. Yeah, I said that. The prompting of the Holy Spirit. Those nudging. Those impressions. Listen, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Be excited about that. He's in you. He's in you for a reason. And He is also fully able to dispense His wisdom to you, isn't He? Absolutely. There's a great story about this in Acts chapter 16. Just flip there for a minute. Keep your thumb in James and flip back to Acts. Because in Acts 16, we see this exact kind of thing. God opening and the Holy Spirit closing doors and giving wisdom. Paul wants to know what was next. Where am I going now, Lord? I want to minister in Your name. And here's what God says to him in Acts 16. Now when they come, verse 6, and when they come through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by who? By the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They weren't allowed to go there. Okay? That's what you call a closed door. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. What's that called? A closed door. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Who was that man? Don't know. But it was from God, obviously. Okay? Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now I'm not for a moment suggesting that we're going to have an identical experience. This is the book of Acts. There are things that are extraordinary. But what I think is ordinary is the Spirit of God working in the lives of God's people in accordance with prayer to make clear what doors have been shut, what doors are open. And so if we don't know how to get through difficult times, we are to ask the Lord. And one of the ways that God promises to answer that prayer for wisdom is by the prompting, the initiating, the nudgings, the impressions of the Holy Spirit. You know what? I don't feel very good about that. I don't feel settled about that decision. I'm not sure that's really wise, a wise way to go. Absolutely, I feel a real peace about this, right? We're told, be anxious about nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ, okay? So there we are. We are having this relationship with God, and God by His Spirit is working in our hearts and our lives and giving us ideas. How often do we forfeit the wisdom of God because we don't go into prayer and because we don't allow ourselves to be moved and guided by the Holy Spirit working upon us? Those gracious impressions guiding us, giving us wisdom. I'm telling you, how often do we forfeit it because we just don't go to Him in prayer? And how much wisdom is it for God's people when we humble ourselves and get into that secret place and ask God for the wisdom we need to traverse difficult situations. Amen. So God promises to do that. And you say to yourself, well, hold on for a second there. You know, I'm going through a hard time. And I've been asking God, you know, for wisdom. And I haven't got any wisdom. It hasn't come to me. And it could be, my friends, that there is a problem with the way that you're asking. Because James not only says here that we are to ask of God, but you look down at your Bible in verse 6. He gives the second word of counsel, and it's this. You are to ask, what? In faith. You're to ask of God, amen. But also, you are to ask in faith. Okay? You are to ask in faith. But let him ask in faith. What could be clearer than that? How are you to ask? You need wisdom? How are you to ask? In faith. That's right. And what is faith? Well, faith is, by the way, just the essential condition for prayer. I mean, there's no faith, there's really no prayer. I mean, faith is the rudimentary, fundamental starting point of prayer, right? No faith, no prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says that those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Okay? We need to believe if we're going to pray. Okay, we've got to believe that God will come through and grant us what we ask. Namely, that wisdom that we need, okay? We need to ask in faith. Like one man put it, faith is living as though God's word is true. Okay? You want to write that down. faith is living as though God's word is true. As though God's word is true. We're not asking faith. But I think you know as well as I do that we do doubt, don't we? We do. Sometimes we're looking at a situation and we just don't know what to do. Do you find that? I mean, there are so many options. We want to make the big or the best one. And we're afraid that if we make the wrong one, their lives are going to be ruined. There are going to be consequences. We're going to have pain. It's not going to be easy. I mean, and we doubt, you know, God, are you going to give me what I need to make the right decision? Are you going to give me what I need to get through this? We doubt. Why do we doubt? We go to God and we look at our lives and we look at our sin. We think to ourselves, God, you know, I just got so many doubts that you're gonna come through and give me this wisdom because I'm so sinful. Do you ever think that? And you know, it's true that you're sinful, but you know what? In terms of this promise, it's totally irrelevant. Okay? Let me say it again. That God's promise to give you wisdom and your sin are totally irrelevant. Okay, yes, we do fall short of the glory of God. James says in 3:1 that we stumble in many ways. Hey, look, if it's about getting right and getting perfect before we get the wisdom we need, forget it. All right? We fall short. We blow it. We are to ask of God in faith. And we ought not to think that just because I am sinful, that therefore God's not going to hear me. That doesn't equate. That's not a biblical way of thinking. Okay? It's not. And you ought to hear that this morning. If you're going to God with huge doubts in your mind, will He give me what I need to get through? I'm telling you, because I'm sinful, I'm telling you, that's a wrong way of thinking. It's not from the Word of God. It's from the dark lord of the pit. Okay? Well, my needs, I'm just not sure God would want to pay attention to them. Again, from the pit. Okay? God is very concerned about what your needs are. Okay? He knows what your needs are. And He stands ready to relinquish or to give to you, that is, the wisdom that you need. And so you have to call on Him. And I know that for some of you, you know, you've been in a pit. You've been in a struggle. And you haven't really received the wisdom. You haven't been asking in faith. And the result has been that you've grown bitter and angry at God and accusative. You know, why haven't you sorted this thing out? Why haven't you given me what I need to get through this? Why, God? Why? It's like, who are we to accuse our God? It is God who graciously and sovereignly allowed us into this trial and for a purpose that you and I might be strengthened in our faith and endure and become perfect. God has a purpose in allowing us to go through hard times, and He wants us to seek His wisdom. He wants us to depend on Him. He wants to show us that He comes through, that He is a God who can be counted on, so gracious in all of His ways. And friends, when we are tempted to point our finger and to grow bitter and accuse God of wrongdoing, we ought to think again. God is nothing but gracious to His children. And God wants nothing more than for His children to lean on Him and depend on Him and to receive the wisdom that He alone can provide. You see that? We doubt. James says you are to ask in faith without doubting. You want to know why? You want to know why? Look down your Bibles, because He tells us why. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Okay? Have you ever been to the ocean? I mean, to the ocean, and there have been waves. And I don't mean the little things that kind of lap onto the beach, you know. Oh, nice wave. I'm talking about the guys that just, you get out there, and they're just knocking you around. You go down, you get up, and the next one just pounds you down. You know what I'm talking about? Ever been there? This is a guy that James has in mind, okay? He's just all over the place. You know, God, do you love me? I think you do. I'm not sure if you do, you know. I really want to believe, but I don't know. I don't know if you exist. Unstable. That's not faith, that's doubt. And James says that that man ought not to believe that God will give him anything. He's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. The people that God longs to pour out blessing and wisdom upon are exactly the people that will take God at His word and say, God, You are true and not a liar. And you say, well, how can I get that faith? I want that faith because I want that wisdom because I need it to get through this hard time. Well, that's a good question. Well, here's what you do. First of all, when you are struggling to believe, take that to God and say, God, I've got doubts, and please forgive me for doubting You. I have no right to do that. Please forgive me. I repent of that evil, that wicked. I do. Because I know that You call me to have faith and not doubt. Amen? How about this? Ask for faith. Remember that story in the Gospel about that man who was struggling to believe and cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I want more faith. And to keep asking God, more faith, more faith. Help me not to doubt. Oh God, forgive me. Please increase, intensify my faith in You. I need that wisdom. And how about this? How about focusing on the character of God? And taking your eyes off your circumstances long enough to get them on the things that are unseen. Friends, you know what? How I need to come here every single week and tell you to do that, don't I? It's amazing. It is amazing. You know it, that in this life we are not to live by sight. Living by sight is deceptive. Living by sight doesn't do any good for us. Living by sight discourages us because God has orchestrated circumstances in a way that are designed to prompt us to move to God, and they do look bleak. And if we keep on looking at just those things, then our hearts are going to sink. They are. We are to fix our eyes on the things that are unseen, on God, and on God's character. We're to shun and dispel any ideas of God that are contrary to His revelation. We are to think of God as that great, big, liberal-hearted, generous, gracious God who longs to pour out His wisdom upon His people and who would receive it by faith to navigate through hard times and say, you know what, this is my God. I don't care what my mind is thinking. I don't care what the world is saying. I don't care what my circumstances tell me. I choose to focus on the greatness and the glory of my God who can come through. I believe that. And by the way, this faith thing I'm talking about, it's not unusual. It's not weird. What we're being called to exercise here is not abnormal for the believer. I mean, sometimes we think that it is, don't we? Oh man, I just can't see You. I just can't see it. Well, duh. I mean, that's what we're called to live by faith, right? We are to live by faith. What's faith? Faith is not being able to see what's up the road, but believing that God's going to be there and help me, right? Abraham went out from the country where he lived. He didn't know where he was going. He went out by faith. In Romans 4, and verse 20, I believe it says this, that he did not waver at the promises of God with unbelief, but he was strengthened as he looked at those promises, strengthened in faith. And so we ought not to think when we get into hard times, times that we can't see past, we can't see the resolution, and say, this is just bizarre. It's not bizarre. It's where God wants you. He wants you living by faith. He doesn't want you to be able to see the answer. He wants you to see Him and go to Him and trust Him and know that He's just got this huge repository of wisdom. It's like, you want some? And down it goes. Down it goes as much as you need to get through hard and difficult times. Now listen, I don't need to convince you that we're going through a bit of a hard time as a church, do I? I mean, you look around, you see some changes, don't you? I mean, we've seen some changes. And I don't want you to think that I'm not aware of those changes. I am very aware of those changes. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you this. That what we need more than anything is to seek our God and to seek the wisdom that He alone can provide for the direction of this church and of this ministry. It's been 8 hard years of ministry, and we've seen some great discouragements and some sad things. And we're wondering, God, what is it that we need to do in order to reach this city in a more impactful way? And you know what? I'm not discouraged by that concept, because James says, if you lack wisdom, you are to ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. And so this morning, as your pastor, I want to invite you to join me at the throne of God, the throne of grace this morning, and ask God for the wisdom that we need, that we're lacking, to know how to proceed. We want to know from God what it is that He wants us to do. We don't want to be thinking and coming up with our own ideas, and here's what I think, and wouldn't this work just fine? No, 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 no. We want to seek God and His wisdom. And we believe this morning that if we do it because God swears by it, and His reputation is on the line this morning because He put it there in this Word, we're seeking His face. God, give us the faith we need for the wisdom You promised to give, to know how to proceed as we walk, as we live in our city. Amen. And so let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we thank You for this very simple reminder from Your servant James. And Lord, what a rich storehouse of advice this morning. Oh, what a comfort to our hearts and to our lives as we, each of us, go through adversity and trials. And for the wise and rich counsel to ask of You and ask in faith. And Lord God, I pray that these words of counsel will never be far from Your people. I pray that they will get themselves deep into their hearts. And when those moments come, Lord God, that they would not turn to the arm of man, but, oh Lord God, to the arm of the living God, whose hand is open and ready to give wisdom and knowledge. And Father, we this morning seek You as this branch of Your church. And we say, Father, we lack wisdom to know how to proceed. Give us the wisdom we need to know how we might make an impact for good on our city. And Lord God, we're asking. We might not like the answer. It might stretch us to the point where we feel we will snap. Lord, it may mess with our priorities. It may alter our comfort zone. It may shrink it. It doesn't matter. Father, what matters is this. We see a city perishing for lack of grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're asking, Father, that our lives would not ebb away in futility. We pray, O God, that Your Spirit would guide and give wisdom, that we might know how we, this generation, might serve our city and do so in a way where we see people coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ and Your name being exalted where it is now brought down. And so, Lord, hear us this morning. Grant us Your wisdom, we ask. We lack it. We need it. By faith, we implore You to give it to us, that Your name and not ours might be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.